Exodus chapter 2, please. We remember that Moses is the author of the first five books of the Bible. So he wrote the book of Exodus. Now in chapter 2, he began to tell us his own story. Chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 3. And the man of the house of Levi went and took as wife the daughter of Levi. For the woman conceived and bore a son. When he saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrush for him, stuffed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in a reed by the river bank. Verse 6. When the daughter of Pharaoh opened the ark, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Verse 10. And the child grew, and his mother brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now would you please read with me verse 11 through verse 23, verse 22, verse 11 through verse 22. I'd like to read together, please. Verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and he went out with his brethren and looked at his servants, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made your friends and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priests of Midian have 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs of water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them, and watered their flock. When he came to tell their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And the message, and content to live with the man." And he became grateful of his daughter to Moses. And she called him a son, who called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in the old man." Now let's turn to Acts chapter 7. New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 7. Looking at verse 20 of chapter 7 of the book of Acts. Acts 7, verse 20. At this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set up, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. jump to verse 29 and 30. Verse 29 and 30. Then, after saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Well, that'll be the scripture reading for now. We come to begin the story of Moses, the story he told with his own words. We talk about the crisis in Egypt this morning. Egypt is a representation of the sinful and evil world before the Lord. So, but we realize that in Egypt, the people of Israel had a very bitter life. They suffer hardship, they suffer labor, and they are sorrowful. Their cry went up to heaven, and the Lord heard it. We don't know exactly how long this has been going on. Since the new Pharaoh went to the throne, he began to execute this new policy. But we can be sure they have been going on for quite some time. Because they suffer, they try to bear the burden, but they couldn't, so they cry out to God. God heard it, God knew it, God said he himself came down to survey the situation. Indeed, he saw it with his own eyes, but he did nothing. I'm sure that God wanted to do something soon, but why did he wait? He waited because he couldn't find the right man, a new vessel. He was waiting for Moses to be born. Throughout history, this is always the story. When man rebelled against God to build the tower at Babel, God was angry, he did something, but he was waiting to do something greater. He was waiting for a man called Abraham. When during the time when the people of Israel was in the dark age of the book of Judges, God wanted to take them out of that time, but God was waiting for a woman named Ruth. A woman who was waiting to leave her own country, Naomi, to return to Bethlehem. From Ruth came King David. In the day of Eli, the scripture says, the word of the Lord was few. God did not speak because he was waiting for someone named Samuel. When God has the right person at the right time, then he can do his own work, he can carry out his own will. God has been waiting for a long time. Book of Acts just said, at this time Moses was born, just at the time that God needed the most. Just at the time the children of Israel couldn't bear the burden anymore, Moses was born. This is always the story, and we all come into the timing of God, that he has a plan, he has a purpose in each of our lives. We're not saved for nothing. We are saved because God intends to use each of us for his kingdom's sake. Moses came. And chapter 2 of book of Exodus said, a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So Moses came with the purest blood of the Levi family. His father was a Levi. His mother is also a Levi. When we go to chapter 6 of the book of Exodus, we realize that his father's name was Amram. Amram took as wife his father's sister, namely his aunt. So this is a marriage within the family, which was very common back then. And so from the Levi, with the Levi, for the Levi Moses. So Moses was born as a Levi. But what does Levi mean? Anyone remember? Levi means union. The word Levi means union, means joined together. You remember Jacob married two sisters, Leah and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel. He did not like Leah. But God blessed Leah, so Leah gave birth of 1, 2, and 3 sons. So Leah was so happy. She said, I have borne my husband 3 sons. Surely he will now join to me. So he named the 3rd son Levi. So Levi means joined together, or means union. So here we have a union, married a union, to form a union, to give birth of a union. That boy named was Moses. Now this is very important, because God is a very special person at a very special time. This special person must have this double union within him. Namely, this person in the future will be able to unite it with God and unite it with God's people. That is this special birth of Moses man. When we turn back to Acts chapter 7, there's one verse spells this out very clearly. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Stephen continued in his testimony, saying, This Moses, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers. So you see, Moses was a person, when he stood before God, he was a person with the angel of the Lord. Also with the Israel of that time. He was joined to God, he was also joined to man. My brothers and sisters, each one of us to be used by God must have this very special but important quality. We first need to have a very faithful spiritual fellowship with the Lord, so that our life is rooted in Christ. At the same time, we ought to be able to join with our brothers and sisters together as the body of Christ. Only through that we can serve God properly, we can be used by God. So that's the first point. Moses was the result of a double union. From that marriage, he was born a Levi. He, as a result, received a double portion of the Spirit of God. You remember Elijah was about to leave Elisha. Elisha followed him around from one town to another, and eventually Elijah turned to him and said, What do you desire? I'm about to leave you. What did Elisha say? May the Spirit that burdened you will bless me with a double portion. So when Elijah was taken up into heaven, his coat went off, and Elisha took hold of it, and he received the double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. Moses, to be a mighty man of God, to be used by God, so from this union, he received the double portion of the Spirit of God as well, so that he was so mighty before Pharaoh, before the enemy, before the Red Sea, and before all the murmurs and complaints of the people of Israel, because he had the double portion of the Spirit. Not only so, because of this, he received the double portion blessing of a son. Moses was not the eldest in the family. In this section we read later, we know that he has an older sister, whose name was Miriam. He also has an older brother, 3 years older than he is. His name was Aaron. So Moses was not the oldest in the family, but surely, because of all he has done, because the way he followed the Lord, the richest blessing of the firstborn was appealing to Moses. And you need to see all scripture when it comes to the Gospels, when it comes to the book of Hebrews, it spells this out very clearly for us. So this is Moses. So that's why the scripture stated very clearly, was a Levite, married a Levite, to give birth of this Levite baby. Now we have talked a little bit about his mother. His mother was a very faithful woman. The scripture said, the woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. You read by reading there, it sounds like Moses was very special to the mother. You see, at that time, Pharaoh's decree was such that a male Hebrew child like this will be killed, will be thrown into the river. But the mother looked at this baby, oh, my baby is so beautiful. Now, for you parents, have you ever seen your own baby as ugly? Each one of you young people, you, if your mother or father ever told you, oh, you are an ugly duck. No, it would never happen. For every father, especially for every mother, her own baby is always the most beautiful. Even the poo-poo of that baby has a special smell. Her mother liked it. One sister told me that. She said, oh, my baby is very special. When she changed diaper, I don't mind at all. Because child is always precious to the mother. So this mother looked at this baby. He was a beautiful child, so she hid him for 3 months. Well, when you go to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it says, by faith, both Moses' father and mother hid the baby Moses for 3 months. They are not afraid of the decree of the king. It's a matter of faith. It's not a personal desire or personal liking of the child. It's by faith they know God has a special plan in the life of this child. Therefore, the mother, after 3 months, put the baby in a box called ark and put asphalt and pitch outside around and laid it in water. The king's order was to put the child in the river. So she obeyed the decree. She put the child in the river, into the water. But she did something else. She put it in an ark and put pitch and asphalt outside. The word pitch was used in the same way in Genesis chapter 6 when Noah built an ark and he put pitch outside. This word pitch has the same root word as the word redemption. So Moses was put in this box, but was the protection by the faith of her mother, his mother, so that he was put in the water. Her mother set a box in the river, near the reed, and see what would happen. Especially Miriam came out and followed. The daughter of Pharaoh came out to the river, and they found the box, and brought it to Pharaoh's daughter. She still had a child. She said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. But because of the baby wept, she had compassion, she liked it. At this point, Miriam came. Miriam was very smart. She said, do you want me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby for you? The Pharaoh's daughter said, well, that'll be fine. Go to find a nursing mother for me, and I will pay her wages. So whom do you think Miriam will go to find? Huh? Just go to find her own mother. So he took the baby back home. Now remember, this is a very, very important lesson. Scripture said, by faith, she hid Moses for 3 months. When she couldn't hide him any longer, she put in the ark, she released the baby. So often we have trouble releasing our own problems. God said, there are things you couldn't handle. There are things only I can handle for you. we need to learn to release the problem into the hand of God. That's what Jochebed did. She knew that she couldn't hide the baby anymore. She knew that if the Egyptians discovered the child would be thrown into the river. So she was willing to put this matter into the hands of God. She put the baby in a box and allowed God to redeem the child. As a result, when she relieved the baby into the water, what happened? Because she did it by faith, she trusts God to save the baby, God will send the baby back into her womb. Not only so, that she could continue to nurse the baby, someone even pay for milk. Have you ever heard of that? A mother who nursed her own baby, and if someone will pay for it? I don't know if it happened in Canada or not. I haven't heard this in the United States. But this is very important. If we learn to release our problem, our burden, things that we couldn't do, into the hands of God, God will surely take care of it, and you can be sure that He will even pay you for it. You remember Jonah? God told Jonah to do something. Jonah said, no, I will not do it. So God said, go this way, to the west, to the east, to Nineveh, to preach. Jonah said, I don't like the people in Nineveh. I wouldn't go. So he decided to get on a boat to go that way. One said, I will go as far as I can. So he waited. He went to the harbor. It happened that the boat was there waiting. The destination was this place he wanted to go. He said, sure, it is the will of God that he will let me go. He went to buy and purchase a ticket, and they said, yeah, we have a vacancy. They have the best seat in the house. So he bought a ticket. They assigned him to the seat, bottom of the boat, where he could speak English. Surely, this is the will of God for me to not go to Nineveh. Right? What's the result of it? When God ordered, commanded him to go this way, he disobeyed. He decided to go his own way. He seemed to find that everything went along very well. He paid a price. Did he ever get to the destination he wanted? No. In the middle of it, he got thrown into the ocean. He got ended up in the belly of a big fish. So he paid a price. It cost him. He never would get to where he wanted. But Moses' mother was just the opposite. He wanted Moses to go where Moses should be. Moses indeed became Pharaoh's daughter's son. And in addition, Moses' mother didn't have to pay. Someone paid her. So this is a very important lesson to learn from Jochebed, Moses' mother, that by faith, we release our own problem into the hands of God so that God can take us to where we should go, so that the plan and purpose of God may be fulfilled in our lives. Now, tradition told us that the Hebrew mother normally will nurse her baby up to about 4, 5, some even 6 years old. Therefore, Moses had plenty of time to stay with his mother. As the mother nursed the baby every day, she will be telling him things like, remember, you are a Hebrew. You are not an Egyptian. Remember, our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not these false Egyptian gods. She will be telling him that you are a very special baby. You have this miraculous salvation from the water. God has a very special plan in your life. You will never to be a good boy when you grow up. And your mother was nursing him, at the same time teaching him things like this. Therefore, as a result, in his early years, Moses was staying with his mother, and the mother has rooted the Hebrew faith deep in Moses' mind. So Moses eventually was sent to the palace and became Pharaoh's daughter's son. Acts chapter 7 told us he was very smart. He learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in speech and deed. Secular history told us Moses became such a mighty military soldier, military leader. He led Pharaoh's army to defeat Pharaoh's enemy on the west to give the land a peaceful time. So that was a very prosperity. That was a time of prosperity in Egypt. And he also was a wonderful architect. He designed and built two supply cities for Pharaoh. And he was so liked by all Ramses, he almost ready to take up the throne of Egypt. He was so well educated in Egypt, he has learned all the wisdom of Egypt. The scripture says he was mighty in speech and in deed. Then Acts chapter 7 told us when he reached age 40, something his mother told him began to ring in his mind. His Hebrew blood began to boil. His patriotism began to rise in his heart. So he decided to go out to look after his brothers. So this one day he went out. He saw this one Egyptian beating upon another Hebrew. He looked at the scripture said, he looked at this way, he looked at that way. There's nobody around. So he has learned all the Kung Fu, all the Taekwondo, all the Shaolin, all the Tai Chi of Egypt. He was such a mighty, mighty warrior. So same thing, Egyptian was born. So he buried the Egyptian in the sand, and that's it. The next day he went out, two Hebrews were arguing. One was beating on the other, so he tried to calm them down. He said, man, what are you doing? Your brothers, your neighbors, your companions, don't beat on him. He tried to talk them out of it. What did the man say? Who set you up as our ruler, our judge? Are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he said, I look at this way, surely nobody was there. I look at this way, surely nobody was there either. He forgot to look up. He forgot to notice someone watching over him up from above. Nothing can be hidden from God. That's the lesson we have to learn. From Moses at that time, he learned all the worldly wisdom. He learned all the worldly skill. He has not been learning from God. So God exposed this matter. The Hebrew brother said, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Moses was afraid. Pharaoh heard about it. Oh, there's only one way to go. He fled. He fled far away from Egypt. He fled into the wilderness of Midian. Slide 15. Alright. Okay, can we have a couple of them? Alright, good. So he was born under Levi. He was raised in the Egyptian frame, but he failed as a natural hero. He was mighty in speech and in deed. But without might, could only kill one Egyptian. He was mighty in speech, but his speech could not even calm or convince the Hebrew brother. He has only way to go. He has to go to the desert. But he spent how many years? The scripture said, when he was 40 years old, this happened. He fled to the wilderness and spent a long time there. And about another 40 years spent there, Moses stayed with the Midian priest family. Scripture said he was content to stay with the man. 40 years very quickly went by. But something deep happened to Moses. We know that when he came to the there's the median whether this Jethro's seven daughters of their flock came to defect, and Moses chased away the shepherds and helped them to feed, help the daughters to feed their flock, and the girls went back home. The father said, "How come you come home so early today?" The girls explained, "An Egyptian helped us." They look at Moses, was dressed like an Egyptian. His haircut was Egyptian style because he was a prince. He spoke like an Egyptian. If the Hebrew accent had been lost, so they looked at him, surely he was an Egyptian. So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherd. He also drew enough water for us and water the flock." So the priest said, "Forgive him, find him to come and eat dinner with us." So Moses joined the family and stayed thereafter. He became Jethro's son-in-law. What did he say? His wife bare for him a son. He named the son Gershom. For he said, the reason he named it because I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. He knew that he was not going to go home. Because he was content to live with the man. What did he do? He became a shepherd. Instead of having the girls taking care of the flock, Jethro gave his flock to Moses. So Moses would take the flock out in the morning, go into the field, and at night would come in. He was very pleased with a simple life because he has no plan to be a Hebrew hero anymore. In a way, he was very discouraged. He was bitter toward God. He said, he thought, "I want to help you to do what you want to deliver my people. But with all, I stick my neck out, but you cause me all this trouble. I have to leave Egypt. I have to come out to this place. Just forget about all the plans, all the heroic career. I just stay as a simple shepherd." So day in, day out, Moses did nothing but taking care of the flock of his father-in-law. Was he a good shepherd? I don't think so. You compare him with Jacob. You remember Jacob. He left his home, he fled away because he angered his brother, he cheated his father, he had to run away. He ran away to his uncle's home. His uncle gave him his flock, and what did Jacob do? He played a little trick here, played a little trick there. As a result, all the flock became his. And Laban's sons looked at Jacob. They were so jealous, they were so envious, that they couldn't do anything because Jacob took over all the flock. In contrast, Moses, after 40 years, he was still taking care of the few sheep that was following him. His heart was not in shepherding. His mind was not thinking about the green pastures, the water, and all that to take care of the flock. His mind was looking at things that he would see in the wilderness of Midian. How do we know about this? We look at Psalm 90 to give us an idea of where Moses' thought was. Psalm 90, please. We know Psalm 90 was written by Moses because it says the prayer of Moses, the man of God. We'll read a few verses together. First we read verse 1 through verse 3, please. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men." Verse 7. "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set all iniquities before you, all secrecy in the light of your countenance, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. You have finished our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? And for as fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, O Lord, and have compassion on your servants, O Lord. So here we know it's a prayer of Moses. He said here, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, there are 80 years. We believe that he wrote this in the wilderness of Midian. Maybe he was close to 80 years, close to the time the Lord called him and appeared to him in Exodus chapter 3. So all these 40 years he spent as a shepherd in the wilderness. He took care of the flock, but every day he went into the wilderness alone with the flock. You look at the heaven, you look at the mountain, you look at the nation. These things that he learned in Egypt begin to be filtered away. A lot of things that he had learned in Egypt, the Lord did not like, began to take away from Moses' heart. For example, here, his evolution theory began to turn to creation theory. Now, you will say, evolution came from who? Darwin, right? That's what we learn at school. But you know, the oldest evolution theory came from the Egyptians. The Egyptians had in mind that this whole universe was like a big egg. This big egg had a pair of wings. It would fly around, and would go around and get old all the time, get tired all the time. Eventually, this pair of wings couldn't handle it anymore, so it dropped. When the wind dropped, this whole egg would roll on the ground and stop. That's how our universe came about. That was the thinking of the Egyptians. That's the earliest type of evolution theory. And Moses learned this in Egypt, like just like that. Because scripture said he learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But when he entered into the wilderness, day in, day out, years after years, God washed away this kind of thought. Because he observed the star, he observed the sky, he observed the mountain. He said, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, you have given birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses has given up his evolution theory. Now he understands there was a mighty God. He was an eternal God. You know, this God is the creator of all things. Not only so, his thought turned from temporal to eternal. He said here, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before we know God, all everything to us is relative. So everything to us is temporary. This matter of the jet lag made me fully aware. Nothing is absolute. Right now is 11 o'clock back to my home in Florida. I was 11 o'clock in the morning in Shanghai. So it doesn't matter what time it is. It really depends on where you are. Everything in this world, we live in a relative environment. But when Moses was in Egypt, he dealt with things on this earth. He dealt things with the materials. Everything was relative, everything was temporary. But now he knows this is the eternal God. To God, there is everlasting. So this is the second thing he has learned. Thirdly, he learned that this life is nothing but vanity. He said, you have consumed, we have been consumed by your anger, by your wrath, or terrified. You have set our iniquity before you, or secrecy in light of your countenance, or they pass away by your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, by strength, maybe 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. He knew that all these things are so temporary, all the pressure, all the pursuit of this earth, that nothing eventually will be cut off, will fly away. Nothing is left. But he knew something to pursue, that is the wisdom of God. So he said, help us to number the days of our life so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Later on in the prayer, we talk about the glory of God next time. He knew that God has a wrath upon man because men sin and iniquity. But through passion, through mercy of God, God can restore men and make them to see the glory of God. So all this in this particular psalm, you notice that Moses changed. The purpose of the 40 years in the wilderness of Midian is that God will take away the part of Egypt in him so that he will restore the Hebrew that's in the man. As a result, this man changed. And the subtitle of this song said, "The Prayer of Moses, the Man of God." He is no longer an Egyptian, he is now a man of God. This is what God has done for the 40 years in the wilderness of Eden. Next slide, please. Especially, there are things, there is one kind of information, like the evolution. Like everything is relatively temporary. Life is just only vanity. All these things Moses learned in Egypt. He pursued these things. Now God is saying, these are not important. Give it up. Three countries. Know the true God, the eternal God, the God who is the creator, God who has the wisdom to impart, to give to us. God wants to share with us his glory. In addition to this, Moses has learned the wisdom of Egypt, and God said, for example, the matter of astronomy. Moses will go out into the wilderness, he will look at the stars, he knew exactly where he was, so that in the wilderness he will never get lost. He looked at this, this time of the year, the sun come out here, the sun will sit there, the star will appear, moon will be like this. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly the way to get home. Because he has learned the math, the astronomy in Egypt. All this knowledge is retained. But does he depend on this knowledge? Yes, some degree. But he does not depend on this kind of knowledge to lead God's people. As the people of Israel was in the wilderness, they went around and around and around. But the pillar of cloud was always leading them. It's not Moses. Moses now said, look at this star, maybe tomorrow we should go this way. He would never dare to say that because he knew he had to trust in God's judgment. He had to trust the leading of the pillar of the cloud. But as the pillar of cloud led them this direction and they came by that place, Moses, by his knowledge of astronomy, he knew exactly where they were. That's why he could write the book of Numbers for us and tell us each station they stayed. There are certain things about this world that God allows us to learn and to make it useful for our service. That is retained in Moses. But there are things that's wrong. There are things that are just purely Egypt, and God will take it out, Moses, and that's what Moses will change from the Egyptian to the name of God. Next slide. Let's continue. Open it up. All right. So we see that Moses was born. He spent the first 40 years in the palace as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Through that time, he learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he became an Egyptian. He appeared as an Egyptian. He spoke as an Egyptian. The seven girls looked at him and said, "An Egyptian helped us all that day." As an Egyptian, he went out to help his brother. He went out to kill that Egyptian because he thought he was very important. He thought he was very capable. With all his learning, with his mighty speech and deeds, he was able to be the savior of the Israel people. He thought he was somebody. And God said, "You are nobody." So God led him into the wilderness. So from 40-year-old to 80-year-old, by the time he wrote this particular song, he said, "If by strength they are 80 years, the days of our lives are 80 years." So we believe that Moses was approaching the 80-year-old. He wrote this. So from 40-year-old to 80-year-old, God turned him into a man of God. He realized that he was nobody. Tomorrow morning, when we study chapter 3 and chapter 4, you will realize Moses gave up. He said, "I'm nobody. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to talk to Pharaoh. I don't want to have any part of it." His heart was cold. His mind was set. He will stay in the wilderness to be a shepherd. But he's only when he came to that extreme, to the end of his road, he thought he only had 80 years. And you will be done. God said, "I will give you another 40 years. I'm going to use you for these 40 years as the servant of the Lord." When we go to the Deuteronomy 34, we will look at it tomorrow. You will find that God, at the end of Moses' life, God called him the servant of the Lord. God said, "This man, for the last 40 years, has served you well. And he is indeed my servant." In Moses' humility, he demonstrated the fact that God is omnipotent. He thought he could do something. God says, "That's not my way." God sent him away to make him aware he's nobody. As a result, God can work throughout this man, make him a servant. Servant or a slave, what does it mean? Is someone totally subject himself or herself to the will and the way of the master. When Moses completely gave himself up into the hand of the Lord, the Lord could use him. So all the 40 years in the wilderness, when you read the book of Acts, when you read the book of Exodus, when you read the book of Numbers, when you read the speeches of Moses in Deuteronomy, you can see every time when the Israelites complained, what did Moses do? Did he try to give them a good lecture? Did he try to show them some miracle? No. He went to the table, to the tabernacle of meeting, bowed himself before the Lord, turned the whole matter into God's hand. So the Lord will work through this man to show his authority, show his power, show his faithfulness. That's why in his 40 years he is called the servant of the Lord. For the first 40 years he thought he was somebody. For the second 40 years he was nobody. For the last 40 years he showed, "Even though I'm nobody, God is somebody. God is everything, everyone." In the end, he was called a prophet. He was called the greatest prophet in the history of Israel. Deuteronomy 34 says, "Since then, there was no prophet raised by God like Moses." Moses was the greatest among all the prophets. Why? because all the other prophets spoke by the inspiration of the Spirit. While Moses spoke because he talked to God face to face. That's kind of thing that we ought to hunger for, as we sing the song, O Lord, thy face we see tonight. As we study the life of Moses, we see how he was such a transformed man, transformed from an Egyptian to a man of God, to the servant of the Lord. And when we come to the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a conclusion about Moses. Shall we go to Hebrews chapter 11? Next slide, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 27. We know that in this chapter we talk about the great deeds of the man of faith. We talk about Abraham, we refer to Abraham's deed by faith twice. Talk about others, refer to their deeds, say by faith once. But when it comes to Moses, we talk about the life of Moses three times. He said, by faith, by faith, by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 24, let's read together verse 24 through 28. 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. So this is the conclusion of the Holy Spirit through the pen of the writer of the Hebrews letter. He said here, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith he refused to be a prince of Egypt because he wanted to be a servant of God. He wanted to identify himself with the people of God because he wanted to be totally belonging to Christ. He chose not the pressure of sin or Egypt because he looked for that eternal reward. He chose to forsake the king because he has seen the invisible, namely the invisible God, the eternal God, the creating God, the God whom he wanted to serve for the rest of his life. As a result, he kept the Passover, he let the people out, and that's the story we're going to discuss later on. But here you see, this is the conclusion of the scripture about the man Moses. By faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, he sought Christ. By faith, he sought the reward. By faith, he go out to the invisible, eternal, faithful God. My brothers and sisters, that's the kind of lesson we ought to follow. That's the kind of person we ought to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we want to look beyond the temporal and the earthly, because what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Where all the things of this material world, all the things of this temporary time life, is for us to build up an everlasting great place of glory. God wants us to pursue the reward in the future kingdom. God wants us to see the unseen, so that because the unseen is everlasting. This is what we can learn from all this life. An Egyptian turning into a man of God, who became a servant of the Lord and did the wonderful things for the people of Israel. He delivered them as a Savior. He was the emancipator. He was the writer. He was the prophet. He was the friend of God. May God impress upon our heart so that we learn from Moses. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the story of Moses as we examine this beautiful life, a great man. We pray the Spirit will impress upon our heart so that we say, Lord, change us as we seek your face. Make us to see the reward so that we are willing to give up the pleasures of this life, to give up all the follies of sin, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, to be used by you. Oh Lord, in these final days, we pray that you raise up in your church many like Moses, so that they can be used by you, so that your kingdom may come. You will receive all the all glory. Lord, we just commit these words unto you. We pray the Spirit will continue to speak to us so that we, our lives can be changed. We will become more useful, more closer to you every day. We thank you for these words. We thank you for showing us the story of life of Moses. We commit ourselves unto you so that you'll be glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.